The text for the sermon this evening is Psalm 91, verse 1. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Beloved congregation of the Lord Jesus Christ, Satan quoted verses 11 and 12 of Psalm 91 in tempting the Savior, our Lord Jesus Christ, in the wilderness. When Satan said to Jesus in Matthew 4, verse 6, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, he shall give his angels charge over you, and in their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone." Our Lord Jesus Christ did not in any way deny that those verses primarily refer to him. Psalm 91 is the words of the Lord Jesus Christ in the time of his humiliation when he was here on earth. One of the old Scottish commentators, Dr. John Morrison, says, "There seems to be nothing unreasonable or unnatural in the interpretation which would represent this psalm as belonging to Christ in his state of humiliation and to his members in their present exposed and suffering condition." This psalm also applies to all those who are in Christ, and therefore we can take comfort from its words. This is a psalm of exquisite beauty. Perhaps the first verse is the most beautiful verse of all. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. This verse has two parts. There is a condition. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High. And there is also a promise. He shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. First, let us consider the condition. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High. He who dwells refers in the first place to the Lord Jesus Christ, but it also refers to everyone who is in Christ, who believes in him. It includes all true Christians. What is in this condition? The Lord's people must always turn to the Lord in their troubles and in their sorrow, and dwell in the secret place of the Most High. We have a notable example of this in 1 Samuel chapter 30, verse 6. And there in chapter 30, the sixth verse, we read, "Now David was greatly distressed, for the people spoke of stoning him, because the soul of all the people was grieved, every man for his sons and his daughters. But David strengthened himself in the Lord his God." The English Puritan Thomas Brooks comments on these words in one of his sermons. "When a shower of stones was coming about David's ears, he runs and he shelters himself under the wings of God. Though David was in exile in a heathenish country, though Ziklag, his place of habitation, was burnt, yet does he comfort and encourage himself in the Lord his God." There are times when trouble is near and fear is within our hearts. And we need then, most especially, to discover the secret place of the Most High. There are literally scores of psalms which we could quote concerning this. In Psalm 142, we have these words of the Lord. I cry out to the Lord with my voice to the Lord I make my supplication. I pour out my complaint before him. I declare before him my trouble. When my spirit was overwhelmed within me, then you knew my path. In the way in which I walk, they have secretly set a snare for me. Look on my right hand and see, for there is no one who acknowledges me. Refuge has failed me. No one cares for my soul. I cried out to you, O Lord. I said, you are my refuge, my portion in the land of the living. In a time of distress, or in a time of concern, it is always good to find the secret place of the Most High, the refuge. Then the Lord will be as a home to us. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High. The verb dwells conveys the thought of dwelling in a habitation, a home. The Lord will be the habitation in which we dwell. If He is our God, we shall never be without a place to turn and without a refuge in trouble. All the powers of earth and of hell cannot hurt the man who has the Lord as his habitation. If we dwell in the presence of God, as a man would abide in his own home, then what do we have in God? We have what a man has in his home. The first thing is rest. A man may be very vexed in the world. He may be very tired and worn out. But when he crosses the threshold of his home, he finds rest. And so a man who believes in God finds rest for his heart. And that is the meaning of Psalm 116, verse 7. There our Savior says, return to your rest, O my soul, for the Lord has dealt bountifully with you. He is speaking of God as his rest. What else does a man have in his home? What shall a man find in God? He finds shelter. It may be very stormy outside, but a man rushes home in order to enjoy a covering, a protection from the storm. Our God is a covering. He is a protection in distress and in trouble. In Isaiah chapter 25, verse 4, we read, "For you have been a strength to the poor, a strength to the needy in his distress, a refuge from the storm, a shade from the heat. For the blast of the terrible ones is as a storm against the wall." So God is our shelter. The other thing we find at home is comfort. When you are misunderstood, when you are misrepresented, when you are criticized or attacked in some way, you come home for comfort. In God, a believer has what a man has in his home. He has the God of all comfort, the God who is able to comfort us in all our tribulation, in all our afflictions. As the Apostle Paul writes in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, he comforts us. A believer can say, with the Savior, the Lord Jesus, in Psalm 73, verse 25, "Whom have I in heaven but you? And there is none upon earth that I desire besides you. My flesh and my heart fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. Here are the Lord's people in a time of trial, instinctively turning to God to dwell in the secret place of the Most High. And the Lord is everything they look for and everything they hope for. He is their refuge in the day of trouble. Further, this blessed one that Jesus speaks of in Psalm 91 is always near at hand. That is clearly implied, for the believer is able to dwell in the secret place of the Most High. God does not elude him. God is not at some great, far distance from him. God is not utterly removed from him. But he is near enough for the believer to dwell in his presence. We find this often set before us in Holy Scripture. For example, in Psalm 119, verse 151, we read, "You are near, O Lord, and all your commandments are truth." What a lovely verse that is. In the New Testament, in Philippians chapter 4, verse 5, the apostle writes, "Let your gentleness be known to all men. The Lord is at hand." That is the wonderful thing about the one to whom we flee, the one to whom we resort. He is never far away. If you are extremely cold, if you are extremely wet, or if you are extremely tired and you want to get home, but it is miles away. How depressing that is. But the saint's home is never far away. And that is why the scripture says he is at our right hand. And therefore we shall not be moved. He is accessible. And that is why Psalm 46 begins in the very first verse with those wonderful words, "God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble." What does it mean that God is so near to us? It is true that God's essence is everywhere present throughout his creation. He is spirit, and his spirit pervades the entire universe, certainly the whole earth. So there is nowhere God is not. But everywhere God is. That is a theological truth. But what we are talking about here in Psalm 91 is God's gracious presence with his people. In that sense, God is near to them that are of a broken and contrite heart. He is near to those who call upon him. That is, his presence in all its kindness and in all its goodness, offering us everything that we need, answering the deepest longings and desires of our hearts, and able to bless us beyond all that we could ask or think, beyond all of our needs. In this sense, God is with us. How is it that God, or how is God with us in this sense? He is with us in this sense by virtue of his covenant of grace, in which he says to his people, "I will be your God, and you shall be my people." And by virtue of the merit of his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, who has brought near those who were afar off by his own blood. And by virtue of his grace, by which he has made us a people to know God's presence always, he who dwells in the secret place of the Most High, we have one to whom we can turn. He's better to us than any dwelling place, than any home, than any house. And this God is near to us. Our graces are stirred to seek this God. And therefore our Savior describes the believers here in our text as he who dwells in the secret place of the Most High. The Lord is saying that it will be a mark of his grace. It will be a distinguishing feature of the believer that he frequents the presence of the Lord, so much so that it will seem that he is always with God and God with him. He will dwell in the secret place of the Most High. That is because our graces, those qualities that God has worked in us, cry out for the living God. Faith cries out for one on whom to depend. Love cries out for one in whom to delight. Hope cries out for one upon whom we can place our expectations. It is the distinction of God's people that we have a homing instinct, that we seem always tending toward God. And that is why we are dressed in ways like this in Scripture, you who seek the Lord. That is what is true of those who are in Christ Jesus. Their face is always toward God, and they are never content apart from him. But they are most blessed when with God. It is because God's grace has worked in us that yearning and that longing for God. My soul cries out for the living God. When shall I come and appear before him? We see something else here. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High. The Hebrew verb translated dwells literally means sits. And it denotes that in all our difficulties and in all our sorrows, an act of faith is made. And that act of faith is often represented in the Bible as resting or sitting. Let me give you two examples of that. In the Song of Solomon, chapter 2, verse 3, we read that God's people sit in the shadow of the Lord. I sat down in his shade with great delight, and his fruit was sweet to my taste. What does it mean? I sat down in his shade or in his shadow. It means I rested in him. It is a description of faith, of trust. The other example is Isaiah chapter 30, verse 7, where the Lord says, their strength is to sit still. The meaning is to rely upon God, to rest upon him. Roll yourself on the Almighty. Commit your way unto the Lord. These are words which suggest committing yourself to the Lord and actually depending upon him. And here in this lovely verse of our text in Psalm 91, verse 1, he who dwells in the secret place of the Most High, the Lord describes the one who not only comes to God, who is as a home, who is near to his people, and all through his grace worked in us by his Holy Spirit. But he describes one who actually trusts in this God, leans on this God, who actually rests in this God, as is so beautifully said in Psalm 37, verse 7, rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Do not fret because of him who prospers in his way. Do not fret because of the wicked. There are many scripture passages which say this very same thing. Paul writes in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 12, I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep what I have committed to him until that day. What had he committed to him? His body, his soul, his all, his life, as if he was resting on him. And that is why the Bible uses this word, he who sits in the secret place of the Most High. Isaiah chapter 26, verse 3 is another scripture passage where we read those familiar words, you will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. To stay oneself upon God is to lean wholly upon him, to find support in God. And that is why it is followed with, because he trusts in you. And what is the result of this dwelling or sitting or trusting or relying upon God? What we would expect. Rest. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High, he who sits in the secret place of the Most High, if we trust him, we shall find rest for our souls. Isaiah chapter 11, verse 10. And his resting place shall be glorious. Jesus says, come unto me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Hebrews chapter 3 and 4 tell us that he who believes in Jesus Christ has entered into rest. Jeremiah chapter 50, verse 6 describes God as our resting place. The Lord says of his people Israel, they have forgotten their resting place. How often, as we are troubled and stirred up by the troubles of this world, we forget where peace is found, and that is in God. We forget where all our anxieties and all our cares can be relieved. The more we put our faith in him, the more we confide in him, the more we discover rest for our souls. The worldly man knows nothing of this. He who sits in the secret place of the Most High is not the average person in the world. Not the formal professor of Christian faith, but the true believer who knows the worth of God, the great surpassing worth of God, who has found by experience that God is his dwelling place, and who therefore does not occasionally resort to God, but habitually dwells with God and is ever with him. He's like Anna in Luke chapter 2, who did not depart out of the temple. The believer is like that. He does not depart out of the presence of the Lord. He is ever with God. And so the Lord says in Psalm 139, verse 18, when I awake, I'm still with you. That is the first part of the condition in our text. The second part of the condition is this. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High. Believers need to withdraw from the pressures of this world and find a secret place. It will not be found in the hubbub of the busyness of this world and of life. In Genesis chapter 29, Isaac went out into a field and he found there a secret place. In Acts chapter 10, Peter went up to the rooftop and found there a secret place. Some of the choicest experiences have been found, and people have gotten alone in the hope of finding God. In Genesis chapter 18, we read of Abraham, that he was alone on one occasion. We read in Genesis chapter 18, verse 22, then the men turned away from there and went towards Sodom. But Abraham still stood before the Lord. He was alone with God. Jacob had the same experience. In Genesis chapter 32, verse 24, we read, "Then Jacob was left alone. And alone, he met with one who stayed with him until the break of day, and that one was God." Jacob says in Genesis 32, verse 30, "For I have seen God face to face, and my life is preserved." Think of Elijah, who was alone by reason of fleeing from Jezebel and King Ahab. And when he was alone in the wilderness, he heard a still, small voice. The secret place of the Most High. We do need to cultivate solitude in the hope that when we are alone, we shall not be alone. Remember the words of Jesus in John chapter 16, "I am alone, yet not alone. The Father is with me." In these times in which we live, we need to get away from the bustle of life. We need to find a place of quiet to rediscover God in the secret place of the Most High. That is what God calls us to do. "Come, my people, enter into your chambers." In other words, come into solitude with me. Jesus said in the Gospels, "Come apart and rest a while." What is it about this secret place? What do we mean? What does the Lord mean in Psalm 91, verse 1, by the secret place of the Most High? The answer to that is in Psalm 31, verse 20. Speaking of the privilege of the believer, the Lord says there in Psalm 31, verse 20, "You shall hide them in the secret place of your presence." The secret place of your presence. The secret place of the Most High is where God is. The secret place is the place of God's presence. Here in Psalm 91, verse 9, the Lord says, "Because you have made the Lord, who is my refuge, even the Most High, your dwelling place, no evil shall befall you, nor shall any plague come near your dwelling." That is the secret of his presence, the Most High, who is our habitation. In both the tabernacle and the temple, there was a holy place, the Holy of Holies. And in the prophet Ezekiel chapter 7, verse 22, that holy place is referred to as my secret place. And just as the high priest entered into the innermost room of the temple, the Holy of Holies, once a year on the Day of Atonement, where the Ark of the Covenant was, covered with the mercy seat and overshadowed by the two cherubim, where the Shekinah glory of God was, where God himself dwelt in the midst of his people. So the believer is able to enter the holiest by the blood of Jesus. And that is the secret place. If it is an allusion to the Holy of Holies, it expresses the fact that we can come into God's immediate presence, and that is the secret place of the Most High. You say, how is it possible that sinners can come into this secret place in the presence of the Almighty, into that innermost compartment, into that sacred room, that holy space? How is it possible? It is because we are given a near, a close, a dear, an everlasting relationship to God through the Redeemer, who is brought near, and we enter by the blood of Jesus. We are brought near to God by his blood of atonement. And through Jesus, the mediator and the redeemer, we have access to the Father. How blessed it is to come to him, to dwell in the secret place of the Most High, for it is so preferable. In Job chapter 22, verse 21, we read, "Now acquaint yourself with him and be at peace. Thereby good will come to you." As we reflect on the rushing crowd of life, which leaves us no time for ourselves often, and no time for God, there must be a quiet time. There must be a resort to the secret place of the Most High. What shall we do there? It is a place where we are so near to Him that we shall be able to pray as a man prays or a man seeks the favor of a friend. There in the secret place of the Most High, we will be able to make our requests. We are not as those who are at a distance, who need to start upon a long pilgrimage to find God. But we are there, and He is there, and we can speak to Him in the home. That is the blessing of the figure. The believer has many heartaches, many trials, many troubles, many afflictions, many difficulties. And some of them he cannot reveal to all. But he can pour out his soul. He can pour out his heart unto the Lord. Jesus said, "When you pray, enter into your closet, and he who sees in secret shall reward you openly." The secret place of the Most High. You pray there to the Almighty. What else do? You read God's word there. Just as truly as your prayers and your desires shall reach God by reading God's word, His voice will reach your heart. The Lord says in the book of Proverbs, chapter 6, verses 20 and 21, "My son, keep your father's command and do not forsake the law of your mother. Bind them continually upon your heart. Tie them around your neck. When you roam, they will lead you. When you sleep, they will keep you. And when you awake, they will speak with you. For the commandment is a lamp and the law a light. Reproofs of instruction are the way of life." What a blessed thing to have a book that talks to us. To have a God that speaks to us. When I am in the secret place of the Most High, and I present my prayers, and I read the Bible, I hear the voice of God. He shall talk with me by His word. What else can we do there? We can meditate. We can think about our needs. We can think about His mercy. We can think, therefore, about our lives. My meditation shall be sweet. Think about the dealings of God with us. Think about the purposes of God for us and for our lives. Think about the guidance that He gives to us. We have to reflect. We have need to absorb. We have need to apply His word. What shall we do there in the secret place of the Most High? The Lord will make Himself known to us. Jesus says in John chapter 14 that He will manifest Himself. He will reveal Himself. He will confirm us in the love of God. He will seal us. As two lovers are alone and give assurance to one another of their affection, so when we are alone with God the Most High, the Almighty, He will say to us, "You are fair, you are beautiful," and we will feel His love in our hearts, and He will grant us grace. Psalm 25, verse 14 says, "The secret of the Lord is with those who fear Him." When a man spends time with God, he will know what he should believe and how he should behave. God makes known His mind and reveals His will. It is wrong to assert our will in life. It is safe to discover His will in the pages of Holy Scripture? Where shall it be known in this secret place? Job could say, the secret of God was upon my tabernacle. I knew the presence of God. He made himself known. He turned his love to me in the way. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High. And the second part of this verse is God's promise. He shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I cannot think of a more blessed verse than that. The Hebrew text is even more precious than the English because it is literally, he shall pass the night under the shadow of the Almighty. And that is very expressive because sometimes it is night and we may be in a time of darkness, a time of uncertainty, a time of disappointment, a time of sorrow, a time of great distress. And the night may seem so long, and there's no glimmer of light. Indeed, the darkness deepens. But the believer who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall pass the night under the shadow of the Almighty. Meaning what? All through the night, God will be with him. The wings of God will be stretched out, as it were, offering solace and comfort and grace, and the comforting mercy of Almighty God expressed by those wings will be all around us as God himself takes care of us in our need, in our distress, in our affliction, in our trouble, in the darkness of the night. The wings of God are a great figure in the Bible. What do these wings mean but protection? He will cover us with his wings, the Bible says. He will defend us. That is a different figure, but the same significance. Is what God said to Abraham in Genesis chapter 15, verse 1. I am your shield. If the secret place of the Most High refers to the holiest of all, what if the wings of the shadow of the Almighty refer to the great arching wings of the cherubim above the Ark of the Covenant in the Holy of Holies? The reality is to be in the very presence of the living God with the shadow of the Almighty, those wings arched around us, and we are completely defended and protected, shielded and guarded, and we are happy because we are safe. Storms may roar and rage around us. My heart may be laid low, but God is with me. God is surrounding me. I cannot be dismayed. Under the shadow of the Almighty. Here we are trembling because of some impending trouble, some trouble that is about to befall us. The shadow of someone is upon us. Who is it? The shadow of whom? The shadow of God. God Almighty. He is with us. He is beside us. He is on our side. But is it enough? Brothers and sisters, it is the shadow of the Almighty. So what do you fear? Why are you troubled? Why is your heart disturbed and disquieted within you? Your God is infinitely powerful. He is your protector. He is your defender. He is your shield. He is your covering. A sovereign protector I have, unseen, but forever close at hand, unchangeably faithful to save, almighty to move and command. That is the promise. If you seek the Lord and dwell in the secret presence of the Most High, He will look after you. You shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. That shadow is thick. That shadow is strong. And that shadow is lasting. It is enduring. For He says, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. So we pass through the night. Even if it means the whole night of this dark and dreary life. We pass the night under the shadow of the Almighty. Brothers and sisters, leave the secret place of the Most High at your peril. Go out from under the shadow of the Almighty. Go out from the presence of the Lord and His people at your peril. Abide with Him, and He will abide with you. And all who are in Christ shall abide. They shall rest secure and safe under the shadow of the Almighty. Amen. Father in heaven, we thank you for this promise that you have given. We thank you that you have told us that all those who dwell in the secret place of you, the Most High God, shall be kept secure and safe under your almighty shadow. Lord, these words are so simple and yet so hard for us to wrap our minds around truly, to comprehend, to lay hold of, and most of all, to live, to apply as we face challenges and difficulties and trials and troubles that disturb our hearts and our minds. Lord, lift up our eyes, we pray, from all the things that are here below, with all the uncertainty and frailness of this life. Lift up our hearts and lift up our eyes, we pray, unto you, the one who is almighty, the one who never changes, the one who is the same yesterday, today, and forever, the one who is our shield and buckler, our defense, and our fortress. We pray, Lord God, that we may rest in you, that we may keep our hearts and minds stayed upon you, and that we may not be afraid, that we may not be troubled. For we know that your promise cannot fail, and that you are always with us. You will never leave us nor forsake us. Father, we pray for those who are troubled, those who are disturbed about many things, those who seem only to reach greater depths of despair because of the brokenness and the difficulties of their lives. Lord, we pray that they may come to the end of themselves. We pray that they may come to the end of their own resources and their own reservoir of resources, and that they may be driven to cry out unto you and to seek you, O God, that they might dwell in the secret place of the Most High and abide under the shadow of the Almighty. O Lord our God, have mercy, we pray, upon sinful people who are far from you, and draw them near by the blood of your Son, and use the difficulties and trials that confront them in their lives to break them and to bring them near and into your very own presence. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.